Hello, Bucks County. What is going on out there in your world? What is going on out there today, this Friday? We are about to head into Valentine's Day weekend. Yeah, it's Valentine's Day coming up here on Sunday. But today we're going to do something a little different. We're going to talk a little bit more about what's going on out there as far as the pandemic goes. Not that everybody wants to hear it, but it is part of our life now. So one of the things I would really love to touch on is an area that's a very sensitive topic to me, but something that's real. Something that happened to me many years ago now. What happened was I got myself into some problems that I could not control. It was out of my hands. This is way, I would say, about 12 years ago, 13 years ago. And I needed help as far as an attorney went. Quite a few of those, actually. I needed a few lawyers, each in a certain particular area. And one of those lawyers, who is, and still is, and was, a godsend, he helped me out of a situation that I had no idea that it could even be done. But it's such a particular situation that I can't even go into those details right now. But the reason I'm having Mr. Charles LaPucca on today is he's the one that helped me out of a mess. Out of a situation that it just kept spiraling into this downward spiral. And when you lose that livelihood and that control, and you know, I mean, I knew what happened and where it started, but it just kept going and going, and there was no end in sight. And the matters were so specific that I needed Charles. I found him. It was not a referral. It was someone I was looking for that could, you know, it was close by, could help me out in this particular situation. And Charles was there. Charles was, like I said, a godsend. He knew his area so well. He helped me out of so many messes. I mean, we were in court numerous times. There was things that I didn't even know they existed. But it saved me. It saved the farm situation on many levels. And it helped me. It bought me a lot of time to figure out what was going to happen. And like I said, the details are something that I don't want to go into. Not for this show. That probably requires a book because there's so much involved. Beyond that, maybe he hadn't even experienced something like that because you're dealing with a huge piece of property and the loss of business. Again, I've been through this loss of business a few times, so I've been able to turn around and come out of it. Every time something happens in this world, I turn around and come out of it. I just am able to. I figured out. I hit rock bottom, I come back out of it. So this was a time that rock bottom hit, and this is a time that Charles LaPucca from Allentown, who is a wonderful man, a family man, a lawyer in many different areas of practice. He's involved with bankruptcy and foreclosure, liquor law, business, family law, and property law. There is a lot of areas he's going to cover, and he will tell us what it's like today during this pandemic. As we all know, businesses, tens of thousands, millions of people have lost that business and they're going through a struggle. People have lost their jobs, going through struggles. You know, the money has come to an end as far as unemployment goes, and the PUA and all these unemployment programs, what the country had done for so many, a lot of those have ended, which means there's no extra money coming in, which means there's going to be lots of bankruptcies happening. And Charles will go into that today with us. So in the meantime, we're going to pause for just a moment and have a listen to Dr. Patrick Sanahan right here in Bucks County. He is a wonderful person and a wonderful author, and have a listen. He is sponsoring Bucks County Bites, and we welcome more sponsors to come on the show because it works well. He has seen a difference. Everyone that comes on the show as a sponsor will have a choice of a spot, and you can contact me for that information. So please have a listen to Dr. Pat Sanahan. We will be right back.
Are you a procrastinator? Do people complain that it takes you too long to finish anything? Is school or work a struggle because you can't seem to stay focused long enough to get things accomplished? There's a book that can help from author Dr. Pat Sanahan, The Procrastination Quiz, available on Amazon. Procrastination becomes a lifestyle for millions and permeates their personal and professional lives. Procrastinators delay or put things off until later, usually things they find unpleasant, overwhelming, or anxiety-producing. They run away from these feelings and do something that makes them feel better for the moment. It can cost you money, precious time, relationships, and even your health. The Procrastination Quiz will help you identify how and why you procrastinate, along with over 16 effective strategies to help you manage this tough habit. The Procrastination Quiz from author Dr. Pat Sanahan. Get your copy on Amazon. Do you know someone who procrastinates? This book may be the help they desperately need to get back on track. Order your copy right now.
Hello?
Hi, Charles. It's Martha.
Hi, Martha. How are you?
I'm well. How are you? I feel like I'm talking to a very good friend, and it's been a long time, but welcome to Bucks County Bites podcast. Did you ever think that you would be talking to me on a podcast after all these years?
I did not, but I'm very excited about it.
I am too. I did a little intro, and I always have the recording always active because I always like to catch any material possible. I can always edit everything later, but it's love it because it's raw, organic, free-flowing, and it's us. It's what we do. And I love having you here because I'm so excited because we have been friends for a long time, but you also saved my life. And I'm going to have...
Oh, I appreciate that.
You did. And I can't thank you enough for everything you've done in the past for me. I and my mom. I mean, it's just, there's so much there, so much detail. But let's get into the intro for you. I want you to go ahead and talk to your audience out there. We have listeners all over the world. And you'll say, hey, you know, this is who I am. This is what I do. And we're going to go into some details of what you actually do for people and businesses and how everything has evolved since this pandemic. So go ahead. Okay. You have the stage, Charles.
Sounds great. Well, thank you very much, Martha. I appreciate the opportunity to join you on your podcast today. For those who don't know the sound of my voice, I am Charles Laputka. I am a real estate and finance attorney located primarily, our main office is in the city of Allentown, Pennsylvania. We also have offices in Bethlehem and Easton and one up in Luzerne County in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. So we've got a pretty good reach these days. And you know, one of the new things with the pandemic, Martha, is that I'm actually practicing law all over the state of Pennsylvania at the moment.
Really?
Because the courts have been open to me across the state through Zoom. We've got a lot of telephonic and Zoom hearings,
right.
And that's great because it's allowed me to help people all across the state where I'm licensed.
Oh my gosh, that's so amazing. See, that's just amazing how, you know, everybody is suffering out there, but then again, we have a different audience, you could say. We can reach so many people because of the technology. We have the Zoom, we have these podcasts, we have ways of marketing and helping others. And that's the reason I have you here, because I know that I'm helping you get the word out. Plus you are helping all those people that do need help. So we're trying to connect everyone to get those that need help. Exactly. What we're
Absolutely.
Doing. Zoom is a wonderful
Absolutely.
Tool.
Yes. Yes, it can be a wonderful tool. And, you know, I've always been able to file, well, not always, for the last 15 years, I've been able to file things electronically across the state. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it became more costly for me and for a client to hire me to, say, drive to Harrisburg, because mm-hmm. that's time away from my practice for me helping someone. But I have you know, my staff and everybody. And of course, we're running a business. So what's nice now is I can charge the same amount of money to somebody whose court case will be five blocks down the road that I can to somebody whose case will be in Pittsburgh. Oh, and it allows me to really help a lot more people.
Oh, yeah. You really have opened up your, I mean, since we've met, you've really have changed and grown. I mean, you, I don't think you had the Luzerne office when we met. I don't think you were.
No, that's possible and not. I'm from Luzerne County. I was born and raised there until I went off to Pittsburgh for college.
Okay.
So it was sort of natural for me to eventually start heading that direction because of all the family and friends and relationships that I created up there as a young man.
Okay. Well, talk a little bit about your background as far as education goes. So you are educated at University of Pittsburgh. Is that correct?
Yes. So my undergraduate degree is in Administration of Justice from the University of Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And then thereafter, I went to law school at Duquesne University School of Law, which is also in Pittsburgh. It's about a mile down the street.
Oh, my gosh, it's that close.
Yep. So I was out in Pittsburgh for, you know, the total amount of school is 7 years. And then I worked out there for about 2 years before coming back towards the Lehigh Bucks County area here. And I've been here ever since. And along the way,
you put your roots down here in Lehigh County. Yeah,
I have. Yes. You know, my live here with my wife and I have three children. One of my children is now in Pittsburgh. He's 21 and beginning the adult phase of his life. But my two daughters, 10 and 12, are still here with my wife and I in the Lehigh Valley.
Oh, you have your hands full with everything that you're doing just in work in general, because I can imagine what you're going through. And then you have the two kids and the wife, and everybody's gone through this whole pandemic and being at home. So it had to be interesting having the two young girls at home, for sure.
Oh, yeah, they are going stir crazy because they are very outgoing young ladies. Mm-hmm. And to be cooped up in the house, you know, trying to do our part yes. socially to keep everyone safe is taking a toll.
Yeah, it has. It really has taken a toll on everybody. And I've had many podcasts on that whole subject. We've had social workers. We've had everybody on talking about these areas. But you are a very good source to help others because I know, like I said, we have gone through and like I said, you helped me, you saved me. And I didn't really want to talk about it because it kind of brings back all those memories and the harshness of what happened to me at the farm.
Yeah, I can understand that.
But, you know, I was able to talk to a few minutes in the intro. I talked a little bit and I said, you know, Charles is a very important person to have in your life because you can help so many people out there that are in these jams. Especially due to the pandemic, you've got there's millions of people lost their jobs, their businesses.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there have been some great government stimulus packages to give people a little bit of assistance along the way. But, you know, what the problem is that can't last forever. And for some people, it wasn't enough. You know, it helped a lot of people and it helped everybody a little bit. Some people it helped a lot, but for many people, it's not enough.
Right. You know, they've got business, they've got mortgages, they've got the rents, you know, there's just, it's not enough to keep them going, you know, and we've seen the homeless population just spiked, you know, people are out on the streets.
Oh, I know.
And it's a mess terrible. In Philly. It's a mess all over. Even here in Bucks County and Doylestown, we've seen the increase of people out on the roads and we didn't see this before.
I recently had an opportunity to travel to two other states for work, both Arizona and California. And since those are warmer climates, the amount of folks living in tents or even worse, just under tarps on the street is the kind of thing that I haven't seen before in my life.
Right.
You know, you would always see a couple people here and there under a bridge or taking shelter from the weather. But those spaces under the bridges are now so crowded that, you know, there's no more room. It's mind-blowing.
It is mind-blowing. And I just did travel a little bit. I went to LA, and I know California is one of the worst. But when I got Uber...
That's where I was as well. Phoenix and Los Angeles, right?
I know. It was crazy because I got an Uber from LA Airport and just to get like 30-minute drive to to my place that I have to pack an apartment up, take everything and bring it back to PA. But in the process of it, the Uber driver is telling me about all of these homeless people, and like the streets are littered with people. It's horrible. And we've never seen such numbers. And you know, with this crisis going on, I mean, I can't imagine the calls that you're getting and the people that you really are helping. It's got to be astronomical. It's history, right?
It is. And yeah, and you know, one of the things that's very interesting, both nationally and specifically in Pennsylvania, is what's going to happen next, right? Because from March 15th of last year, and some folks have heard this and some don't know, but since March 15th of 2020, there have been no foreclosures or evictions in Pennsylvania, and that is extended through March 31st. So March 31st, 2021. So we, at this point, we are going to go slightly more than a year without foreclosure or eviction. Under certain circumstances, those things could occur, but you know, the regular circumstance of someone not being able to pay their rent or not being able to pay their mortgage has not been grounds for foreclosure or eviction.
Not yet.
Now, of course, not yet. So the question is, what is the government going to do? Are they just going to let that order expire on March 31st and now we're going to quadruple the homeless population? Or is there going to be, it's mind-blowing. Or is there going to be some new stimulus package? And time is running out because, you know how slowly things move in government. That deadline is March 31st of 2021.
It's taking them forever to get some of these programs done. And people need it. They need help. And if it doesn't happen, what are we going to do? See tens of millions of people out in the... They can't live on the street. They need homes.
Yeah, and my comments are not meant to be political. They're meant to be social. I don't care which side of the aisle you stand on, but you can't have homeless families all over the country. You can't have everybody losing their homes at once. I don't have an answer to this. I don't have a solution to the problem, but I'm very concerned about what's going to happen in the next 6 to 9 months.
Yeah, think about the domino effect of this, though. Think about, all right, everyone, they lose that money, they lose the home, that just affects every business out there. It's just a huge domino effect. You think about, the grocery stores, the shops. I mean, every single person will be affected by those people losing the homes and the apartments.
Yeah, we're already seeing the commercial side of that because... Yeah. The order I was referencing was in reference to residential. You know, we're already seeing, I don't know when the last time you were at a shopping mall, but you know, most of the shopping malls have, all the stores are closed. Yeah.
So all the stores, so if you go to a mall, say, all right, let's take Lehigh Valley Mall, for instance. I used to, I used to go up there a long time ago, but that was one of my favorites. But to think about Lehigh Valley Mall and all the shops inside that mall, tell me what's going on in a shopping mall situation. What's going on with those businesses right now?
Right. So what's happening is the people just aren't there. So we're not really seeing a problem quite yet with the anchor tenants, you know, the Macy's or the JCPenney's or those anchor tenants in the big boxes. What we're seeing inside the mall is the kiosks are closing, you know, where people would sell various perfumes and toys. Those are really going away, and a lot of the smaller chain stores are disappearing.
That's so sad.
My wife just told me she had to go to Barnes & Noble at the Lehigh Valley Mall for something last week, and she told me she saw another sign. You know, a longtime staple of the Lehigh Valley Mall was Abercrombie & Fitch, and that's now closed. So,
really?
You know, other than that one, I don't know any specifics, but when I have gone to the mall, I've noticed a lot of dark doors.
Oh, sure. I mean, it is. Think about, you've been to the airport, so I've been there a few times in the last
it's a ghost town.
6-7 months, right? You go in there, and I go to Newark, and there's nothing open. Mm-hmm. And this was like even during like a holiday time, I think it was Labor Day, I was in there, and it's like, there's nothing there. They're all closed. There might be one coffee shop open.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, so basically the coffee shop is still open.
It's a ghost town. It's everywhere you go, it's a ghost town. You know, you go to New York,
and listen, that's
LA,
extending
San Fran.
The people that are hardest hit are the service industry folks, the gyms, the yoga studios, the restaurants, the bars.
Those are hit hardest. Really,
yeah, are. And a lot of these strip malls where, you know, restaurants and bars are such high rent districts because they're high traffic. And in times of a prosperous economy with 100% occupancy and nobody wearing masks, you can make, you know, enough money to pay those $6,000 or $8,000 sure. a month rent bills for a strip mall. But with 25% occupancy, I can tell you that you can't afford to keep fresh beer and food to feed the 25% or 50% of people that come in.
The bills, you can't pay the electricity and other running costs. You can't pay the employees. You can't pay. There's just no money coming in to do those things.
Of course. And then a lot of those stores are owned by individuals. So what happens is not only do they lose their store, but when they lose their store, the majority of them lose their income. Mm-hmm. And now they're at the risk of losing their house and having their vehicles repossessed. You know, and the worst part is these were prosperous businesses a year ago.
Yeah. It's just so how amazing how it struck so fast and how it just wiped us out. You think about, though, all the countries, though, they're all in the situation. Every person out there is affected. Like, I know people in the UK, and I know some of my friends are podcasters in the UK, so they're listening to this, and they are shut down over there. The one guy did a Zoom video for podcast. He was in the middle of London. There's nothing there. Just a ghost town in London. And in Scotland, I have people I know in Scotland and Ireland, same situation. It's just, it's haunting, ghostly, to know that our world has come crashing down like this.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that I focus on more than others is restructuring people's finances, either through bankruptcy or debt consolidation, mm-hmm. or sometimes even just having a meaningful conversation about how to reorganize your debt without, you know, shorting people or filing bankruptcy. And all of that is a great option for when you've come to a point in the road where you just can't get by on the debt anymore. But what I can't do, and I think what the problem is right now, is produce new income, right? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter how much debt you have if you don't have any money. It doesn't matter if you have $20,000 worth of debt or $500,000 worth of debt. If you're getting an unemployment check, or worse, if your unemployment check has run out, mm-hmm. there's not really anything that anybody can do to help you, because until you're generating income, you can't get back on your feet.
There's nothing you can do. I mean, if there's just no income, there's no income. That it's gone, it's dry, it's run out. And that's what
we're seeing a lot of that, right? Especially, you know, one of the more hard hit areas that I'm aware of locally is Reading. Reading has been really hit hard by this in the lower socioeconomic end of the population. And what that's causing is a trickle down effect to landlords, because people aren't making money, so they're not able to pay their rent, but the landlords aren't able to evict them. And frankly, even if they could, they'd have to find somebody else in a similar situation to come in. Oh. So we even have landlords defaulting on the mortgages of their rental properties at this point.
And that's so horrible.
It's just such a domino effect.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
What do you tell people? Like, I'm sure you're getting all these calls and you're trying to assist them and give them the advice to help them. I mean, what if they need your help, but at the same time, what if they don't have any income to pay you? What if
right, there are a
there?
Lot of phone calls, a lot of phone calls I get from people that aren't ready yet. So one of the things that I love about my job is helping consumers, small business owners, or really anyone that finds themselves struggling financially. And I can provide a lot of relief from the pressure of the collection agents and the court system and all of those things. The good news is some people aren't ready yet. But the good news is that there are things that I can teach someone during a free consultation about this type of thing.
Okay.
there are things that I can teach people to keep their creditors at bay until they have income and are ready to deal with it.
Okay.
Because when you have nothing, there's really nothing anyone can do to you.
No.
You know, a lot of the questions I get, Martha, are, well, you know, can I go to jail if I don't pay my credit cards or if I don't pay my mortgage? Like, is this a crime? And the great news is, in this country, it is not a crime. It's not a crime to not pay your bills unless there's fraud involved. Obviously, if you steal money from somebody,
right, then you have a
that's
problem.
An issue. But yeah. But if you're borrowing money on credit card debt or, you know, basically any kind of debt that you've borrowed and you're unable to repay, it's not a crime, right? And you always hear the term that you can't get blood from a stone. And to a certain extent, that's true. It's true in the short term. Because you can't, you know, if I have nothing right now and the creditors are coming for me, if I have nothing, you get nothing, right?
Right.
But the idea is eventually everybody is trying to get back on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
And ignoring the problem long term won't make it go away. It needs to be dealt with eventually. So when I have a consultation with somebody that's struggling, we sit down and it's not just, hey, you know, pay me right now. I'll do what I need to do and I'll get rid of this debt. There really is a timing involved here. So there are many people that I meet with and I say, listen, I've got the perfect plan for you, but it's not the perfect time to execute it for 6 months or 9 months or or a year or whatever. You know, when you get back on your feet with a job, call me and I can take care of this so you can move forward. But we don't rush people to a solution if the timing isn't perfect.
Okay. Okay, that's good to know, because people will be listening to this and, you know, people are scared and they don't know what to do. But, you know, if you can tell people out there, you know, reassure them, there is a process behind all this that you can help.
Well, right. Let's sort of apply that to the mortgage foreclosure situation, what I was just explaining to you. So a lot of folks who have never missed a mortgage payment until the COVID pandemic are going to find themselves getting letters from the mortgage companies. There have been some temporary forbearances, which means some of the mortgage companies have said, you know what, we understand you're going through a hard time. You don't have to pay for 10 months. And 10 months from now, you know, we're not going to foreclose on you, obviously, because they can't at the moment, but we're not going to foreclose on you. And 10 months from now, we'll figure it out. So a lot of mortgage companies have given people deferred payments. And then the problem is when the 10 months comes up, now if your mortgage was $1,000 a month, you owe them 10 grand. There are some programs where you can do what's called a loan modification and maybe have that $10,000 of arrearages put towards the end of the debt. So you can just start paying your $1,000 a month again and continue to be current on your mortgage and just kind of start over.
That's
the best option, right? But there's no guarantee for that. The lenders, the mortgage companies, have to offer you that voluntarily. So if that is not an option, then what a lot of people do is they freak out and they think, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my house. You know, 2 or 3 months, I'm going to be homeless. What I want you to know, Martha, and what I want all the listeners to know, is that foreclosure in Pennsylvania is a relatively quick process if you put your head in the sand and ignore it. But if you respond and react and participate either individually or using an attorney, it takes a long time.
Yes, and, yes, it does.
Right.
We know that for a fact.
So if you get served foreclosure papers and you do nothing, you know, in the normal situation, your house can be sold in about 4 to 6 months, depending upon what county.
Yeah, in normal situations, it's quick.
Right. With COVID, it's a little it's a little longer, a little slower.
Yes.
But if you participate, two things can happen. One, you can add a little bit of leverage to the situation and convince your mortgage company that you should have a second chance for a loan modification. So drawing the process out by participating either pro se by yourself or hiring an attorney like myself that deals with this kind of work, if you participate, you can stretch that 6 months to a year or 18 months or 2 years. And what happens when you do that is you gain leverage over the bank, because when you show them that you're not willing to leave, you're going to put up a fight to save your home, it makes them think sometimes about whether or not they should give you a second chance and let you start over. So that's sort of some of the things that we do with my office without filing bankruptcy.
That's good.
So
info.
It's not just, it's not just, oh, I'm behind on my bills, or oh, I'm in foreclosure, the only route is bankruptcy. There are other ways to turn your credit around and keep your home. And the best part is, bankruptcy is more or less guaranteed to work, but we use that generally as a last option.
Okay.
You know, if your home's for sale tomorrow, if your foreclosure's tomorrow, we can file a bankruptcy today, stop the sale, and give you an opportunity to repay your mortgage.
Wow.
But that's not the best option for everyone, because we can draw it out for a year and a half to 2 years.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes people just need time.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sometimes, yeah.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that I help clients with a lot in the mortgage foreclosure side of this is getting that time legally, getting that time through the court system, making sure the documents are analyzed, and basically making sure the bank is not doing anything that they shouldn't be mm-hmm. in taking your home. So some folks are in a situation, they realize, Martha, I can't afford this home anymore. You know, I lost my job. I got a new one. We live in this $500,000, $700,000 house. Mm-hmm. And it's too big and I just can't afford it anymore.
Okay.
And that's yeah. okay too, right?
Right.
But you need time to downsize. You know, let's say your kids are juniors or seniors in high school mm-hmm. and you think to yourself, you know, we really should be downsizing, but I really don't want to pull my kid out of the school district or out of this neighborhood with 1 year to go in their high school career. Those are the kind of things that I can definitely help with to make sure that you can stay in that house until your kids finish high school or middle school.
And, okay, and, then you can and do keep the change.
Right, it's very important for family holistically, right? You don't want to right. uproot your kids in the middle of high school if you don't have to.
Right, yeah, nobody wants to do that. No, no kids.
There's so many different considerations that go into this, which is why I always tell everyone, you know, I offer a free consultation. It is legitimately no strings attached. We will develop a plan for you. And my process is that I want to educate people, because so many people know nothing about this situation.
It's so true. People don't know. I mean, I met you. I didn't know half of the stuff. Of course, this is what you do.
Right.
And you know, like I said, you educated me and I learned so much over the course of those years that we spent together. And we did. It wasn't just a one-time situation. We spent a lot of time knowing my situation, and it took a long time to get through all of it, which was a fantastic thing. You did a wonderful job and you've helped so many people out there. You know, that's why
I appreciate that.
So and happy that you're here, because you know, you also published a book or two, haven't you?
I have, yes. I have two books. They are, one is about the bankruptcy process, so that folks that feel a little timid about discussing these things with someone can call my office and get a copy of that book. You know, we can email it to you right away and we can actually send you a physical copy in the mail. And what that does a lot of times is it answers preliminary questions. Now, obviously what I can't do in a book is tailor an outcome specifically for you. You know, it's general ideas about bankruptcy. And the worst thing that someone can do when they're faced with this situation, it's the same as like when your elbow hurts, right? If you go online and you Google that your elbow hurts, you're gonna think that the sky is falling and you're dying, right?
It's true,
it's the
right?
same kind of thing. Same kind of thing with foreclosure mm-hmm. and debt relief. There are a lot of scams out there.
Yes,
and
there is.
Same thing, you go on the internet, and the problem with the internet is a lot of this stuff is not only state, but county specific.
Mm-hmm.
So you might Google something and find an answer from somebody that lives in Kansas that went through this situation.
And
the
totally
situation
different.
In Kansas
yeah.
is totally mm-hmm. different than Eastern Pennsylvania, Bucks County.
Every state, every county, every the township, everything is so different. You have to be specific to where you live. You can't just find out that information from California or Texas or Minnesota. It's just not going to work. Has to
right.
be specific
and
to your area.
The other problem with the internet is that there is, you know, it's the problem with the internet and it's the problem with Zoom. You know, we were talking about how great Zoom is earlier and how it's allowed me to open my practice to more of the state.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems is that it allows other companies, it allows predators to prey on people more easily nationally. Right.
Oh, yes.
So you go online, there's a slick looking website. I think mine's pretty good too, but there's a slick looking website that sucks you into this promise that, you know, we can eliminate your debt and we can file, you know, we can keep your home without bankruptcy, without foreclosure. All you have to do is pay this amount of money. There's so many people that come to me, Martha, that have first fallen victim to one of these scams.
Oh,
and they paid
know.
Somebody $3,000 or $4,000 to not solve a problem. Mm-hmm. That they could have paid me, say, $2,000 to actually solve the problem
right.
with a local attorney.
that's why we're trying to get the word out there, because I've been part of that. I have been there. So yes, it's, you have to be so careful, because everybody is trying to sell something, and their scams are so bad, especially with a pandemic. Those scams have gotten so much worse.
And you're gonna see it when the foreclosures begin again. You're gonna see the loan modification scam that's been rampant for the last 10 years. It's gonna quadruple, because is those people have marketing budgets that are extraordinary, the con artists, because they don't actually do the work. The money that they're taking in, they can just keep half of it and put half of it to marketing, and they can just get more people to fall for their story. And you know, you want to think, okay, this person that's calling me from California has given me a really good sales pitch. I saw them on Zoom, they're legitimate. But the problem is, once you pay them, if they stop answering the telephone, what are you gonna do about it? Are you gonna get on a plane and fly to California and try and find them?
You can't, because you don't have the money to do anything. You can't go out there and see what these people are doing.
And you've given them your last dollars for help. It's so tragic.
Oh, it is very tragic. I mean, I've been hearing scams constantly all the time. I hear, you know, people getting calls from this, what is it, the Social Security. And the IRS. I mean, people are calling. They're not, they don't call you. First off, they will mail you a letter. They're not going to call you. Right. Always go with your mail, not email. Those are scams. I can't tell. And there's a grandmom scam out there. There's all these things happening. Like the grandma scam, terrible. I was like, what is this? And then I learned about that. And you try to, just trying to educate people, trying to help them do the right thing. I mean, when I see you, I see your website, you've got all this information, you've got your books on there, because you have two. And then you talk about the bankruptcy, real estate, foreclosure, family law, liquor law, and business. And then you also have Channel 69 News backing you, because you did your interviews. They had you on TV, which I'm going to get.
I've done
this,
a couple of pieces for that.
Yeah, and I'm going to get this over to George Wacker, because he's Lehigh Valley with love, and he's well known in Allentown, Lehigh County. He will also take this podcast and send it out on his links, because
it's
important for people to know here in Lehigh and Bucks County that you are out there. You really give a damn. You really have a heart.
And I really just want everybody to know what they're getting into, right? I would love for every time the phone rings, I would love for that to be a new client, because that's great for business and my employees and my families and expansion. And the more that I can grow my business, the more people I can help. But first and foremost, that's not my main goal. My main goal is, I'm tired of, and I've been doing this, we can talk about it a little bit. I've been doing this for over 20 years. I am tired of credit card companies and mortgage companies knowing the law and having the best attorneys and just doing whatever they want to the uninformed or undereducated consumers.
That's right.
It's the classic bully situation, right? Mm. The bank calls you on the phone and they say, "We're going to sell your house if you don't pay us." Well, there is a lot more to the story than that. And if you don't know the rest of the story, you'll be terrified. Your health will be poor. You won't be able to sleep at night. You know, it hurts relationships. You know, husband and wife. It hurts everything about, you know, you could potentially uproot your kids. You're fighting with your spouse because money is tight and the mortgage isn't getting paid and nobody knows when they're going to get kicked out. I mean, it goes so far when you are in debt that you can't pay. It affects every aspect of your life.
The mental, everything about you. So spiritually, mentally, physically, everything, it affects your whole well-being. It destroys you. I've been there. So my audience doesn't know my background. They don't know what I've been through. And it will destroy you if you don't get the help. And this is what Charles does. He is out there to help educate and teach you. Because they do. The banks, the credit card companies, they don't educate you on this. It's not what they're doing. They're just going to take what they want. They're going to destroy. They want to destroy you. They don't care.
Well, right. They want their money, and they're going to do whatever they can at all costs to get it.
That's right. And so tell
me. That's the problem, is a lot of people take it personally. The banks don't take this personally.
No.
It's just business.
No, it's just
business. You want to call up and you want to tell Discover Card, the terrible things that have happened in your life. You know, you got laid off and your wife left you and your children are sick. They don't care. They just want their money. It's just business. It's mm-hmm. very clinical and sterile. And it's, you know,
it's exactly,
pay us or we're going to crush you.
All right. Now you have another book out there, and are these books are they available on Amazon, or do you get that from your office? How would they get these books?
You can get them directly from my office. I do not charge for them because they are education pieces. So The Road to Freedom from Debt is the first book that we discussed about bankruptcy. And that is, like I said, it's free of charge. We can email you a copy to your, you know, to your Kindle or your iPad or whatever you want, or we can send you a physical copy in the mail. Some people like to read paper books. And then the second book that I've written is about recovery from financial problems. So I've been working for years with a gentleman named Phil Tyrone, who works on helping people, educating people how to rebuild their credit after they've gone through a bad situation. Now, it's not credit repair. Credit repair is not a thing, and we can talk about that in a couple minutes.
Okay.
Because that's sort of a different scam.
Okay.
This is education about credit, right? This book and this program that you can get involved with through, you know, reading the book and then calling me to get involved in the program, this is a class that I personally believe they should teach every senior in high school, because it is about how credit affects you. It's about how credit is measured. And basically what we do through this program and this book is teach you how to play the game. It's a game, right? Mm-hmm. You can't sit down with somebody that knows how to play Monopoly and you've never seen the game before. You're not going to be able to do it if they don't give you the directions.
Right, right.
Right? It's the same thing with credit. Nobody's giving us the directions as we grow up. Unless you get it from your parents, nobody explains it to you.
Mm-mm.
All they say is you have good credit or bad credit. If you have good credit, you're golden. If you have bad credit, you're garbage.
There's no details. It doesn't come in a book.
And you know, frankly, I honestly believe that the credit bureaus have done this intentionally, have kept folks in the dark over the years. I think it's getting a little bit better now. There's a little bit more transparency online, but it's still not 100% transparent.
Yeah, it's better than it was
a few years ago. Right. But the normal person who hasn't had this education thinks, well, I must have great credit because I've paid my bills on time. I've never missed a payment. That's not necessarily true. There's something called utilization ratio. Utilization ratio means that, and this is a big part of your credit. So utilization ratio means if you have a $10,000 credit limit and you have a $9,000 balance, it doesn't matter if you've paid that card on time every month for the last 10 years. The fact that you're using 90% of your available credit is a negative impact on your credit report.
And people don't know that.
Right. So here's a quick tip that I'll give you in relation to this, and everyone listening, mm-hmm. is the rule is 30%. You don't want to carry a balance month to month on your credit card that is greater than 30% of the available limit. So if you have a $10,000 card, you don't ever want the balance to be more than $3,000 revolving.
Wow.
And if your credit, if you keep it under 3,000 and pay it every month, that is how you have fantastic credit.
That's what they look at. Then that changes the utilization of that card and your credit, right?
And now that card becomes a positive impact on your credit as opposed to a negative impact because it would be overutilized.
That is really good information for people. But
so yeah. People that have good credit are the ones that have it and don't need it. It's a very backwards
system,
right?
That is very backwards. You think about it. You know, people that do have great credit, they don't need that stuff. But it's the people that are suffering right now that, you know, they can't make those credit card payments or they have high utilization of it. That's the bad part. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's really tough. It's really tough in these days. And hopefully it changes. Go ahead. Go ahead.
One other thing that I wanted to mention, because I sort of put it to the side a minute ago, is the idea of credit repair. I get a lot of phone calls from people that are asking about credit repair. And, you know, I don't need to file bankruptcy. I don't have that much debt, but my credit's terrible. I just need these couple of things off my credit. I need credit repair. Well, credit repair is not a thing, because most people are looking for some magician to come in and just remove negative things from their credit.
Okay.
So the way the credit bureaus work, and the reason credit repair companies exist, is because they can generally do a quick fix that is temporary. What that means is if you dispute something on your credit report, the creditor only has a certain amount of time, either 30 days or 60 days if they ask for more. The creditor has a certain amount of time to respond to your dispute. Mm-hmm. And if they don't respond in that 30-day period, which, you know, when you dispute things, there's a lot of background work that the creditor has to do. When they don't respond within that 30-day period, that negative report on your credit falls off.
And they probably aren't responding too quick right now because of everything. Right. They're probably swamped. Yeah.
So what happens is you think, oh, this is a great job, and you pay the person that did the credit repair for you, because a lot of them say, you don't even have to pay me until it comes off. Well, here's where the scam is. That only comes off until they respond, because the credit bureau assumes that if they didn't respond, then it was invalid. But what happens is if they respond after the 30 to 60 days, it just goes right back off. So a lot of times you can get a short term through quote credit repair. You can get a short term bump in your credit for 60 to 90 days. So there's one time in your life when this might be helpful, and it's when you're getting a mortgage. So the only time in life when credit repair might actually be a thing and might be helpful, which is why it's technically not a scam, is because if you're, let's say your credit score is 620 and the mortgage company tells you it needs to be 630 for you to buy a home. Well, if you've got a couple of those negative things and you ping them off real quick, and then you apply for a mortgage, you get the mortgage, now you're happy living in the house, and those things all come back on your credit again, you don't care.
I see that there is a reason to have that for certain reasons. Okay.
Correct. That's the only circumstance where, quote, credit repair or disputing things on your credit that are true will help you. So now, disputing things on your credit that aren't true, that's great. That's a different kind of credit repair.
That's different.
You know, if you have something being reported against you because you have the same name as your father, you know, it's a junior senior situation, a lot of people's credit reports get screwed up. In that kind of situation, if your father's or your son's debt is being reported against you, you can repair that. You can get that removed.
You can get that
but
fixed,
I'm talking
right.
about, right. You can't fix things that aren't broken. If they're true and accurate, you can get them temporarily removed.
Yeah, so those credit repair companies, then are there certain ones that are much better than the others? Say they could they come to you for a credit repair, or you don't really specialize in that area? So you would recommend
I would recommend that they come to me.
Okay.
And then if the situation is appropriate, sometimes the credit repair folks, I would like to do a credit analysis. I would like them to come to me for a free consultation and bring a copy of their credit report with them, which you can get for free online from annualcreditreport.com. Mm-hmm. Is a free online source for your credit report.
You can now get that once a year, right? You can get that free.
You can get
once
it once a year from each bureau. So you can get three credit reports a year, one from each bureau.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then in the alternative, if you can't get it, I do have the ability, like a car dealership, to pull credit reports here in the office. That costs $20. So the consultation and going over it with you is free, but I get charged $20 from the company.
For
I don't make any
yes,
money on
yeah.
it. I get charged $20 from the company, and I get what's called a tri-merge credit report, which is the same thing they pull from the mortgage company mm-hmm. and the car dealer. So those free credit reports are sort of a consumer-based product, mm-hmm. which doesn't mean that they're not good. It just means they don't contain all of the information. It's enough to get by.
Okay. All right. That's good information to have.
And the other thing I would say is when we do that, if I look at this and I say, you know what, you're going to be cheaper, it's going to cost you less money to go with a credit repair company than to pay me to do that, I will let you know, and I will send you to a local one. I am so big on supporting local businesses for many reasons, but one of the big reasons as a consumer is if there's a problem, you know how to address it. You can go to the facility when they don't answer the phone. You can show up there and say, hey, pay attention to me. You didn't do what you said you would do. Now, I tell people all the time, I've got a live office where I come to every day. I'm not virtual. I'm not here from Philadelphia on Wednesdays only kind of thing.
You're there I've at got the office. Do you go every day to the office?
I do. I go to the office every day unless I'm out of town for some reason at a conference or something. But I'm in my office every day, and if I tell people, if you give me money and I don't do what I say I'm going to do, feel free to wait for me in the parking lot when I get here in the morning with my coffee and we'll talk about it.
Oh,
you know?
My gosh.
That's my guarantee to my customers that I'm going to do what I say that I'm going to do.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't want to, I'm a local guy, my family's here. I don't want to screw people over and have to look over my shoulder for the rest of my life. That's a terrible way to live. I do this job because I help people. I come here to work every day because I love helping people.
You have such a huge drive, a huge heart for helping people. Where did you get this from? Did something happen to you a long time ago that really made you see that this is really what I want to do? I want to help people in these situations. What gave you this drive?
Let me give you, I'll give you a little bit of quick history there. So I grew up in Hazleton, Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, a little bit further north here on the edge of the Poconos. And my family were all small business owners. So I've seen that and I've lived this life for a long time. We always joke that the Laputkas are not fit to work for other people. And that's the reason that we all have our small businesses. But it's really given me this drive and sense of entrepreneurial spirit. And then what happened is I was in high school and I needed a job for the summer. And I went to a telemarketing company where I was, you know, this was back in the 90s. And back in the 90s, I used to call people after school every day and try to get them to open credit cards with me over the phone. If you can believe that. Talk about the scams that are now.
My gosh.
I was a 17-year-old kid on a telephone saying, hey, would you like a Providian MasterCard?
Oh my gosh.
I'll never forget it. I have the whole script burned into my memory. And these people all over the country used to give me their name, address, birthday, and social security number over the phone, and we would mail them credit cards.
Oh my gosh, you did that. Oh, I can't believe
people
that.
People used to trust more in the 90s because there were less scams, I suppose.
Right. Oh my gosh.
So, you know, the good news is that it wasn't a boiler room situation. My company was legitimate and we did give you the credit cards and they were high interest rate and all of those things. So that's where I saw the front end of how easy it is to get credit. Then my next job, the following summer, I worked for a bank called Franklin First Bank up in Wilkes-Barre. So I commuted from Hazleton to Wilkes-Barre all summer. This was the summer between high school and college.
Okay.
So I worked in the repossession department, not physically repossessing people's vehicles, but I was the guy that answered the phone when somebody came out of their office or the grocery store and their car was gone. And they called the police and the police says, oh, your car didn't get stolen, it got repoed. And I was the guy that had to tell them, you know, if you give me $1,800 by the end of the day, you know, by the end of the week, we can get your car back. Otherwise, it's going to auction. People would cry. You know, they come out of the store, they've got two little kids and a bag of groceries and a minivan's gone.
And you're that
person. And I did that for a summer and it tore me apart. Tore me apart. So I did that for the summer and then I realized how big of an issue this was. So then I went to college and I got a very similar job at Mellon Bank out in Pittsburgh where I worked evenings and weekends while going to school. Again, in the collections and repossession department.
Okay.
So all of those people that call you and harass you, you know, I used to be one of those people, but the difference is I was never nasty about it. So there are fair debt collections rules and there are quotas and things for collection agents. And there are a lot of folks who do this job collecting for a living. We have to remember that, right? Everybody's
right.
got a job
they
to do.
They do.
They're feeding their family by calling you and asking you to pay your bills. They're not terrible people. But sometimes they go over the line and they say things that aren't true to get you to pay. So I was not that person because I was not supporting a family. I was using this money to support just myself, you know, as my income in college, a little bit of beer money, that kind of thing. So I was very by the book and I helped people every way that I could. And then I had to quit that job when I went to law school. So when I went to Duquesne University, they said to me, you know, law school is really hard. So you can't work part-time while you come here. It's one of the school's rules, or at least not for the first year of law school.
Okay.
So I had to quit my job. It was a corporate job. And one of the rules of this corporate job was if you quit, you can't come back. We don't like quitters. So I quit my job. I started law school. About 2 months in, I was broke and I felt like I could handle it. So I went over to the job board and I pulled a phone number for an attorney that was looking for someone in law school to do some part-time work. So it just so happens this guy's name was Dennis Spira, not that that's important for the story, but I went to him and he hired me to help him with an arson trial. He had gotten involved in an arson trial with an insurance company on the civil side, not the criminal side, and he needed, you know, a student like me to go to the library and do research and find cases and blah, blah, blah. So we did that. I did a great job. And he was primarily a bankruptcy attorney and a consumer rights attorney.
Oh, interesting.
So that's not the job I was hired for, but I saw that in the background as I was doing this arson trial.
Yeah.
And when it was over, I asked him if I could still stay there and do this other type of work. And that's when I fell in love with bankruptcy law and being able to help people.
Wow.
And just all of those people that I had been calling for years and telling them, I don't know how to help you, you just have to pay me. I now knew how I could help them.
And that's incredible. That is a really incredible story. I never knew that about you. I had no idea. You really do have it. You do have it in your soul and your heart to really help the people out there. You've been around
it. I knew from that moment that's what I wanted to do. And eventually what happened is I wanted to come home to the East Coast. And I got a job. I went back to the other side. I got a job at a foreclosure firm doing foreclosures because I needed, at this point, I was married with a child and I needed to support my family. And the job that I could get, you know, job that I could get was doing what I did, but for the banks. I did it for about 4 years and I was miserable every single day, taking people's homes, you know, having the same people with the grocery cart and no car call me the night before the bank was selling their house, they would call me and it hurt. And I hated going to work every single day. Loved the people that I work with, but I hated my job.
You hated doing the
job.
Yeah.
I did it for the knowledge and for the paycheck. And I lasted about 4 years at that job. And then I said, you know what? I now know both sides of the fence here. I know how the banks think and I know how their work happens. Mm-hmm. And I know how the consumers think and I know how to do that work. So I'm going to make a choice to do that. You know, it's kind of like in criminal law where the prosecutor becomes a defense attorney. It's the same kind of thing.
Right, right.
You go and work for the prosecutor's office and learn how to put people in jail, because what you're really learning is how to not put them in jail for later in life. It's that kind of thing.
That is so amazing. It is.
I started my own firm in 2008, and here we are 12 or 13 years
so
later.
So you started your firm in 2008, and I really met you 2 years, just about 2 years after you got your firm started. So I was, I didn't realize that.
I started my firm in an apartment downtown Allentown because I couldn't afford a commercial space. So I ran it out of an apartment for about a 2-bedroom apartment for about a year and a half until I was able to find a commercial building. And we've been here ever since.
And
since 2010, I've been in the current location.
I met you in the commercial building because I remember when I walked in your office, you had that office then. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, Charles. Just gave me shivers. That is an amazing story.
That is my background story. And that's why I'm so passionate. And that's why
really
I get
are.
Up every day and come to work ready to help people.
Wow. You have a great story and you have a great service and you believe in your full 100% in your heart that you are out there helping, and you are. You've grown. I've seen how you've grown, and we're going to make sure that all this information is out there. We'll put all your links in the podcast. You're going to have all that information right there. Easy access. So on every platform out there, that it's Spotify, Pandora, Amazon, anything, you can go right to that podcast and the links are so easy. You just hit that button and it takes you right to your website, or it takes you right to the information that they need to contact.
Well, that's wonderful. I can't wait to,
I'll put
some
articles,
back links to your podcast on my website as well.
Put them on your website. Also, I'm going to put that out on all my social media. Now, you don't have as much as I do, but you do have a Facebook and you do have an Instagram that I've noticed. I think it's kind of new, your Instagram, but we'll put it on there. I'm going to link, you know, I'm going to tag you on everything. So when I get
tagged, please. That's something I plan to develop a little bit more this year. You know, as I grow my firm, the main focus is reaching out and helping more people. You know, as I'm sure you could hear from our conversation, obviously we all need to make money and provide for our families and pay for our daughter's weddings and things like that. But at the same point, the more people I can help, the better, because I could have kept my firm small and still had a comfortable life, but I want to help as many people as possible.
Just remember who your tech geek is now. I might have been a horse farmer at one time, but I've turned into quite the tech geek. I've had a psychological firm hire me to take care of all their social media. I'm very good at it. I work with an author right now. I actually help with his e-publishing and editing and anything when it comes to books, publishing, anything. I have put everything into other languages. So if I really wanted to right now, which I think is going to be very important for you, I can turn this podcast into Spanish.
Oh boy.
So that may be helpful for you because we know a lot of...
Oh, that would be very helpful. I actually have four... I have my team here at the office is 10 people, and four of them speak Spanish, not including me, because I don't speak Spanish. I understand Spanish, but I'm terrible at speaking it.
Well, I think that would be really important. I mean, I've done episodes in French before, and I can do them in Spanish. So I have an AI software program that I take all the podcasts. I can change my own voice can be an artificial intelligence voice, which is very cool. So I can change the actual words. If I don't pronounce something correctly, I can change it. It just takes I take the word out and I import my artificial intelligence voice, but I also can take it and turn all that text into another language, which is about 100 different languages.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I think that would be really cool for you just because you're out there helping others. And if they can hear that, you know, a lot of Spanish speakers might not know English. They have a tough time understanding and translating it. I know it's easier now than ever before because we do have a lot of apps that do help with it. But this program that I have is wonderful. And I will do that for you because you were so helpful in the time I needed you. So now I'm helping you. And if you need you need any help with any social media, I'd be glad to help you. I'm going to do a promo and ad on this one because it's something that's really needed out there during this time. So I will promo you. So you actually show up on Facebook and Instagram as a sponsored ad and people will see that. So they take notice and they will click on it and they can contact you at that point. Okay.
All right.
You'll
Sounds
see how
great.
It all works. And also if you've got a couple articles that you really want people to read, make sure you can get those over to me and then I'll put those in the podcast as well that they can read it. Okay.
I do. You know, the other thing I can do is I can send you links to copies of both of my books.
That would be great. Anything that you can
send. To PDF versions. Yeah.
Send me those PDF versions. Anything that I can click in there, put in the podcast and they can click on it. That would be wonderful. I've already got your cover art set. I know what to do for that. As far as music and background music, I can take care of that for you. If you have something that you want, you can always text it over to me and I'll use it. Okay?
I don't have anything in mind. Whatever you
I'll
choose
take
will
care
be wonderful,
of it.
I'm sure.
I will. Charles, you know, it's been wonderful talking to you about all this. And I hope that this podcast reaches so many people and that you can help even more during this crisis and beyond.
Me too, Martha. It's been wonderful catching up. It's been wonderful catching up again in this process. And, you know, now that I've known you for 10 or 11 years.
I can't believe it's been that long. Charles, 10 years.
I know. I
mean, it's going back to 2000. I guess it was 2010. Everything kind of fell apart. So you were there. You picked up the pieces and you got me through and I survived. And I've done a couple different jobs during that time.
You've really put in the work to get yourself to where you are now.
It's really evolved. And, you know, went from a driver situation to a long haul transporter. You know, I wasn't expecting that to travel. And I was traveling all across the country. You know, and I've been in every state and every city. And I've flown all over the country. And then to turn around and have it all lost, I lost the business because of the pandemic. I mean, I still do a few here and there. But not like I was. And that's like, what can I do to help others? Start a podcast show. Why not? And now it's turning into something more than I ever anticipated. People are going to be doing a media show on me. They've got some blogs that are being written. I'm being shown and published in a few places. So, yes. Exciting.
Oh, it's very exciting.
It's awesome. But, Charles, I thank you so much for being here today. You have no idea how you're going to help so many more people with this podcast. So excited.
My pleasure, Martha. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Have a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
everyone, that was Charles Lapuka, and he is a savior. He will help you like he's helped me. Like I said, I don't want to go into detail exactly what went on, but he saved me, picked up the pieces. I was able to move on with life, and Charles can do the same thing for you. His firm is 100% full of love and helping those that need it. His book, The Road to Freedom from Debt. And then the other one is Rebuilding Your Life After Bankruptcy. It is easier than you think. So it is so, so, so good that he was able to do this podcast. And I'm so fortunate to be in his friend for, you know, 10, 11 years. So I will make sure this gets out by Saturday. Everyone, enjoy the weekend. It is Valentine's Day weekend. And I will do a Valentine's Day podcast on Saturday, so it's published for Sunday. How's that? Everyone, have a great day here in Bucks County. Get ready for an ice and snowstorm coming in. So everyone, take care of yourself. This is Bucks County Bites, over and out.